Cardoza. Only on LA Talk Radio.
Welcome to another edition of Answers for the Family. I'm your host, Alan Cardoza. Every Monday from 11 a.m. to noon Pacific Standard Time, my guests and I will bring you answers and options to raising children today and in our constantly changing future. Answers for the Family will address issues such as locating your runaway teen, family crisis intervention, building self-esteem, and dealing with addictions. We will introduce you to specialized schools and treatment programs that can really help, and educational consultants that can help you determine which school or program is right for you or your child. With over 30 years' experience working with families in crisis, I've been fortunate to meet and work with some of the top professionals in these fields. I will bring you some of these incredibly talented and caring people each week as we bring you Answers for the Family. I'm thrilled to have as my guest today one such talented professional in Miles Adcox. Miles is the CEO and co-owner of On-Site Workshops. On-Site provides therapeutic and educational services worldwide. He is also a partner in Peak Performance Brain Training and recently helped create Safe Harbor's Capella, a new inpatient trauma and addiction wellness center for women in Costa Mesa, California. Miles worked in the sports and oil industries prior to a life-changing transformation, which he discovered his true passion for leading and motivating people into positive change. Miles, welcome to Answers for the Family.
Thank you, Alan. Glad to be here.
Hey, it's glad to have you. And I know as I was going through your website and taking a look at the program and learning a little bit more about you, the question came to mind, what was your experience that brought you to your own life-changing transformation?
Absolutely. It was, several years ago now. I was in as you read, I was kind of on a fast track in the sports industry, which I thought was kind of my calling at the time. I'd done some education around that and had had some early success and was kind of on a fast rise. But internally, I was not feeling it. Things were pretty dark. And I was at a point where, I could manage career, but I was not managing personal very well at all. I was stuck. I began to use medicators to kind of take some of the stress away from trying to live and work in an environment that I just felt a little way out of balance in. After exploring some resources, I wound up going to a wonderful facility out in Arizona for what I tagged at that time. The closest thing I could find to it was anxiety and depression.
Okay.
And it was that, but I think it was that plus several things. And what I found at that time was I got in touch with, I came out of generations of emotionally suppressed family system in that it was, I come from the South, so we were the perfect Southern family. And I'll be honest, now that I've been working with families for years in this industry, I know that there were a lot of needs that I'm grateful I got met and that they did a wonderful job with what they had. But looking back, there were still some things growing up that I didn't learn how to express and I suppressed, and it caught up with me in early adulthood. After that experience, I tell you, it just kind of set me free. I got in touch with my feelings. I learned more about my emotions. I got into my body. Turns out there was a creative side to me that kind of unleashed after that, and I knew I had met my calling. From then, I educated up some more on our field, and some people opened some doors for me and got me to where I am today. So it's been a real blessing. I'm super grateful. Kind of a walking experience and example of what I get to help other people do now.
Yeah, and I would guess one of the things that you learned was there is no perfect family.
You got it. It took me a long time to get that.
Yeah, I think that goes for a lot of us. Well, now share with us a little bit about the on-site workshops. Tell us a little bit about the living-centered program, and how that works at on-site.
you know, that's another part of my story, in that in 2006, I had the opportunity, I became friends with the previous owners of OnSite and had the opportunity to come do the Living Centered program myself. They invited me to do it. And of course, at the time, I came in as a professional and thought, okay, well, I'll bring my notepad and take notes and see what I can learn in terms of training purposes and how I can apply it. Well, little did I know, I still had some more to be revealed. I had a little more work to do, and it really, in 6 days, that particular process I connected to, and it changed everything. It changed the way I do relationships with myself, with my family, and with everybody else. And from there, I knew, I was just blown away by it. It was a really life-changing experience in a short period of time. I didn't know a lot about it. I knew it from working in the field, and I kept intersecting with it. I'd cross spaces and heard about this place called OnSite, where they do short-term intensive therapeutic workshops for a number of different reasons. Most of it, at the time, I was working in addiction treatment and working with trauma in long-term environment. And we had family members that needed more than just a 3 to 4 day family program you could get in a treatment program. They needed to do some of their own work. And they were going to this place called OnSite. And so anyway, after doing my work there through a series of kind of nothing short of some small miracles, connecting with the founder in Arizona, that kind of led me to the possibility of being a part of it, which in October 2007, I got that great fortune. But what we do, we've been around for 33 years. It's pretty exciting to be kind of the third generation of carrying the message of what is OnSite. It was founded by a lady by the name of Sharon Weichscheider Cruz, and she kind of pioneered a lot of integrating family systems into the addiction world. Wrote and published a lot of books back in the 70s, 80s, and even still writing today. And she kind of created what is OnSite out of her own story of having a father. She grew up in an alcoholic system. She was the founding chairperson of ACOA movement 28 years ago and really did a lot of wonderful things. But basically, she saw a hole in resources for people dealing with addiction and alcoholism at that time. And she wanted to know where somebody could go who didn't have that, but grew up in that pathology and needed somewhere to go get some relief. And so she created it out of that, out of working with families of alcoholics and realizing there needed to be a place for them to go. Years later, we've kind of evolved into taking and working with, regardless of the dysfunction or the medicator, whether it be alcohol or work or, you know, fill in the blank. We just got good at working with and around family systems, whether that be bringing an entire family in, customizing a 4 day program for them, and working with them on communication and breaking through a lot of stuff that might be holding them back or keeping them stuck. Or mostly we work with individuals who come in and are with us for 4 to 7 days, and we work with them in a group setting and help them go back and look at that family of origin and how it's imprinted and how it's affecting their relationships today, do a little resolve around that, unstuck, and get them moving in a whole new direction.
Well, and again, as I was checking it out, and I noticed, I mean, it lists it kind of as like a 6.5 day program, you know, and I come from the world of, you know, having done this for 30 years, I come from the world of if you go off to a program, you know, it could be for months, you know,
right.
You know, so, I mean, share with us a little bit about, you know, the special emphasis. I mean, the specific things that the Living Centered program goes through. I mean, cause I noticed that, I mean, it said, you know, there's relationships, there's intimacy, there's, you know, how people deal with it through medicators or distractors. It just seems like a lot of stuff to go through, and at the same time, to be able to help people build their self-improvement and their self-worth. Walk us through a little bit on how somebody gets through that in 6.5 days.
It is kind of a crash course, and that's the reason we call them intensive workshops, is because it's all, you'd be shocked at what we can do in 6.5 days, or at least I was and continue to be now that I'm on this side of it. But we, you know, in running a 30-day model, 30-day program that was for, you know, more addiction. Basically, when I laid those schedules beside each other after getting involved here, I saw that hour by hour we were doing as much therapy as I could squeeze into a 30-day program. Now, obviously, in 30 days, you have to pace it just a little differently.
Right.
And there's way more things that need to happen in terms of stabilization and education. And so with this one, I mean, you're 6 to 8 hours a day, we're really moving. And we kind of started out, and we do talk about and address a lot of core functions that typically evolve into what we end up medicating or the feelings that we end up stuffing around. And the things that typically people, whether they're in a recovery type support system or not, usually comes up and gets them in early or any time in adulthood, which is looking at patterns around relationships and intimacy and family of origin and forgiveness and affirmations. And we kind of take about 5 or 6 really core things, and we work on those, and we introduce them in terms of psychoeducation and concept. And in doing so, we teach in a very much of an experiential model. And so that we believe that anything that can be said can be shown. So mm-hmm. as people might have done talk therapy for years, nothing wrong with it. It absolutely is a core piece for many people, but we're more of an action-oriented method. And I think that's why we move so fast, is that anything you try to show, anything you try to tell us, we try to put a picture to it, sculpt it, show it back to you, and then role play it out. It's not, you know, that kind of stuff is not new. I mean, a lot of it was
right.
born out of psychodrama, Jacob Moreno, early mm-hmm. 1900s. But we've kind of adapted it, taken several different modalities and trying to meet a client where they are. It's such an interesting mix of people that show up for that Living Centered program, too. You might have, and we very much do a lot of group work mm-hmm. and build community around it. And it's just as much, I've learned, it's just as much of who we are with people when they show up as what we do to them, which I never understood the secret. It took me a little while to get the secret to that, because I thought, man, I've never seen such skilled therapists that all come and work and train at one place.
Mm-hmm.
How lucky to be here. But the more I got to know the people that had been doing it for so long, the more I got to realize that they weren't doing less was more.
Mm-hmm.
But there's really a way to hold people up and support them in an unconditional way, which you get. I mean, you know the treatment world, so you do it really well, too.
Well,
go ahead.
I was going to say, what percentage, I mean, give us a breakdown of a class. So what percentage of the people in the class are professionals? What percentage of people are there because of a chemical dependency issue? What people are there just because they want to fix their family, they want to examine their family, and they want to connect better. Kind of spell that out so that we can sort of have a visual of what it is that you're saying.
That was another interesting thing, is looking at the dynamics of the group. I began to think, how do these people that are coming in for these different things end up working together in a group? And what I found was that the more diverse, the better. And it's the way we set it up. But we may have someone in a group of 8 that is 20 years in recovery from alcoholism
mm-hmm.
and just went through a divorce. We may have somebody else who has never had any no therapeutic foundation or recovery at all, and just, you know, had some kind of crisis. They're grieving the loss of a parent, or went through a divorce, or some kind of life crisis has hit them. And we might have them alongside, which is very common, that we have several people that come to us to work on what's called codependency.
Mm-hmm.
And that would be a family member with, you know, usually an identified patient that's in treatment, either an adolescent, child, adult, young adult that's in treatment, and they would come here to do their own work around how they're contributing to it. But we put all, you know, these people are in the same group. And one thing we ask when people come, we tell them before they come, is we don't have people share. Oh, yeah, and the fourth that I'd put mm-hmm. in there, those are 3 real common ones. The fourth would be a professional in the field that is coming to do their own work.
Right.
So we might, you know, in any one group, we've got 2, 3, whether it's a therapist, interventionist, that, you know, people that are in the helping profession that want to come and do their own stuff.
Well,
when people come, we do ask that they don't share their professions. That's part. It just kind of, what it does is it takes one level of, might be a layer of protection around how we get so hooked into who we are as what we do. And we kind of take that away immediately, so people feel safe to do what they need to do, and they can do it in a way that they don't have to go through that professional lens.
Okay, yeah. So in other words, the professional that's there maybe working on their own stuff doesn't say, I'm a professional in this field, which may affect the other people, I think is what you're saying, right?
Yeah, and they're able to take that hat off. We'll have a therapist in there with a doctor, with an attorney, with a school teacher, we're more interested in getting to know who you are as a human being rather than a human doing.
Right. Now, let me throw out a scenario, and this is a scenario. This is the type of call that we get, and probably other professionals get as well, where you feel somewhat helpless. Now, for us, we were primarily with adolescents, but we will get calls, and this is sort of how it goes. It's a mother or father of a maybe 19 through 25-year-old that says, you know, here is the situation. You know, they're on drugs, or there's an alcohol issue. They're off living on their own. They're not necessarily living at home, but the parents want to help. They want to do something, but they want to do something different because everything else that they've done, I mean, has up to this point not worked, and they feel like they've kind of been throwing bad money after good. And so they don't really know what to do. And for myself, I mean, for what we do with doing the crisis intervention, doing the adolescent transport, I tell them, I go, are you a conservator of this 21-year-old? Well, no. Are they in jail? Have they done anything? Are they in court? Is there anything that you have from a leverage point? And they go, no, we really don't. We just want to see if there's another way to help. So as I was listening to you, would this be the type of thing that if someone like us or whatever got a call and said, here's my situation, you know, my son's 21 years old, these are the issues he's going through, could this parent literally give you a call and say, can I bring my 21-year-old out there and have both of us go through this?
The short answer would be yes. We screen pretty well to make sure, you know, we're not in a place to do drug and alcohol treatment. We're just not that level of care. However, we work around and in the addiction world pretty much 90% of the time. That's who we're working with, whether it's any kind of addiction. But oftentimes, what keeps people stuck, and I think it's one of the number one relapse factors, is that family system, that family dynamic. And unfortunately, those of us that do and have run treatment centers, you have so many resources and so much time. And it is fair to say that over the last, 5 to 10 years, the family has kind of had a resurgence in the field, in that more people are talking about it, more people are trying to engage it, more people are getting involved. But the truth is we only have so many resources and so much time. So what I might do with a situation like that is I would do one of two things. I would assess both. And if I thought that the 21-year-old could really benefit from coming to do some deep work and then follow up with whatever might be next as an aftercare option, then I would bring them in at separate times. If I felt like it was a family dynamic that, was purely a communication thing that really needed to be looked at deeply in the same setting, we've got the ability to do that. And we'll kind of customize a family intensive and either bring in a mother, son, or we'll bring in three. We brought in as many as 30 members from a family and had a team of therapists work with them for 3 or 4 days. But it's real common for us to do either post-treatment, pre-treatment, or as an option for families that have just done multiple treatment centers and they've done the family programs and they know it all in theory, but they just hasn't sunk in yet, for them to come and work intensively with us as a unit.
Now, you mentioned about relapse, and so the picture that I was getting out of that is that another good fit would be the young person that is coming out of treatment, but they're getting ready to go back into a home environment that may have contributed to the problems. And so for them, maybe to go straight to you before they go back in. So maybe if that person coming out of treatment and somebody that's part of that family were to go in together, that might keep them from going back into that same environment that maybe added whatever it was, the stressors or whatever it was that maybe got them to their problem. Does that sound about right?
It does, and in many cases, a lot of wonderful adolescent and adult treatment centers out there, and wilderness programs across the spectrum, and there's a lot of wonderful family components and family programs. Most of them aren't long enough. And what happens typically, and I'm sure you see it, is that the identified patient goes to treatment, gets healthy. Mom, dad, or the family come in, and they get a lot of education. Mm-hmm. And they might do some work, but they get a lot of education on their part in the system, how to maybe reparent, get some parenting skills, communication skills, education on the addiction as a disease. All that stuff is extremely helpful, but typically mom and dad have their own pathology that goes back a generation, whether it's not in crisis, but it's definitely feeding the disease of the family. And that what they need is to be pulled out of the system themselves or together and to do their own work. And many times you don't have the, I mean, if we could treat every family for 30 to 90 days, that'd be wonderful, but it's just not realistic. So what we try to do is work intensively with family members around that in as short a period as we can, and then get them back into the family program, and it just creates an entirely new dynamic. And that happens sometimes. It happens, you know, I've got some interventionists that work with us that they won't take a case unless mom or prior to the family program, and some of them like them to go do a family program and go back and then come do the work with us.
Well, you bring up a good point in regards to follow-up. And what sort of follow-up, if you have an intense program like you do and it's 6.5 days, what sort of follow-up do you do with those families so that they don't backslide?
That's an area that I wish we could do more of. We run into the same thing that a lot of inpatient centers run into, is that you've got so many resources and so many staff to do so much of A, B, and C. We try to put in a follow-up call, but we don't. And what I'd like to, we're kind of looking at it. We looked at CREAT because there's some great, I like the, you know, the new monitoring that's going on. It's not real new. A lot of people mm-hmm. have been doing it for a while, but it seems to be catching on in a pretty good way, to where there's structure and there's a strategy and it's calculated and it's manageable for, you know, a year to 5 years. Professionals programs have been doing them for years.
Mm-hmm.
And we're working on some criteria to create a monitoring system for the whole family post. But right now we don't. All we do is put in a follow-up call. It is common for us to have a lot of repeat business. After somebody does it, they might come back and do one a year. But it's pretty limited to what I think it should be.
Okay. Well, yeah, I mean, it sounds like, I mean, the other thing is they probably need to reconnect with whoever it is that they were dealing with locally. And if they can do that, that may help them to kind of stick with the structure that they've now learned.
And that's a prerequisite. We make sure we wouldn't have, because the level of work we're doing, it's kind of intense, it's fast, it's comparable of doing like a year of outpatient therapy, you know, twice a month or something in an hour session. And so in order to do that in that way, obviously you run the risk of going too far too fast and overexposing somebody that might have years of emotional trauma that might be creating the pathology that turns into codependency that enables a kid to use or medicate with drugs. And for us to do that at that pace, we have to have things on the front and back end for support. So we won't take anybody unless they've got a therapist. And if they don't have one, we've got it. We set them up with one, and they've got an appointment when they go home. That's definitely a big part of our process.
All right. Now, and is there a mechanism for the people that maybe don't believe that their life is all that horrible or anything else, but they know that there's something higher that they can find? They know that if they could understand, you know, their own intimacy. I mean, just people that are going through the stressors of life now, the fact that the economy has, you know, has gone so bad. I mean, it, you know, as I was going to the website, I mean, it seems like it would be that kind of retreat that, you know, you don't necessarily need to have the, you know, a serious issue. Just the fact that maybe getting away and being able to find out more about yourself could improve anybody's life.
And yeah, that's probably 30% or maybe even more are people that are kind of soul searching or looking for a personal growth experience. And they usually get more than they bargain for when they come, because it's not a light type program, but it's very gentle. I mean, we're not one of those confrontational in your face programs. We don't have to be. The way the model's set up, it kind of lends itself for people to go deep, because we make it really, really safe. And, but yeah, we've got people that, and we're running programs about, and you know, the key to it, because I'd probably say, what do we specialize in? Well, we specialize in family of origin work, codependency, and emotional trauma. And we do that in a variety of different ways. And that's usually one of those three things has impacted or affects just about everybody. And we, you know, we're running workshops about 42, 44 weeks out of the year. And then alongside those workshops that are scheduled and planned, which are a variety of different ones, healing trauma issues, healing money issues, living-centered program, family intensive, you know, we've got a lot of different ones. We've got the ability, because of the network and the way we staff our clinicians, we will customize therapeutic experiences. In other words, we'll do, if somebody is an emotional trauma or a physical trauma has come back up and really gotten them in their at some point in their life, we will do a trauma intensive.
Mm-hmm.
We work a lot with the entertainment industry, so it's for the person that is on the go and wouldn't have time to consistently put together an hour of therapy for a year. But I'll also say that most of our people come from a therapist, in that they'll send us their client that's in their caseload, not as an alternative to what they're doing, but to work with them. In that, you know, the client, maybe they've been working with them for 6 months and they're stuck, and they'll send them to us, work intensively with them, and we'll send them right back.
Yeah, it sounds like maybe they just need a jump start. We're going to take a break, but again, for anybody, if you would like to kind of follow along, you know, again, as long as you're not driving, but if you go to www.onsiteworkshops.com, you can sort of follow along. So when we're talking about some of the stuff that's on the site, you'll be able to see, and it may actually motivate some questions. So again, we are talking with Miles Adcox, and we will be right back. Founded over 25 years ago to meet the needs of families in crisis, West Shields specializes in resolving adolescent issues that negatively impact the family. From preteen to young adult, we are experienced and qualified to help. We offer solutions which include referrals to a network of top professionals internationally that we work very closely with in the fields of educational consulting, psychology, and psychiatry. Our in-home crisis intervention care program helps to stabilize families and bring effective resolution. We are supported by our licensed investigation company that enables us to offer legal and expert services for locating runaway teens and more. Our therapeutic transportation services help to ensure that adolescents in crisis are safely provided transportation to specialized schools and programs with unmatched experience and success. Simply put, West Shield Adolescent Services is the best solution when your family is facing personal crisis. Call 1-800-899-8585 and let us help you. All right, we're back with Miles Adcox, and we are talking about on-site workshops. Miles, I know that there's a lot that you do in regards to generational family patterns. How do these family patterns affect how we act and react within our own current relationships?
I'm sorry, Alan. It broke up just a little bit. I missed the second part of that.
Okay. It says, how does generational family patterns affect how we act and react within our current relationships?
Well, everybody tends to take a little bit of an imprint of what we saw, what we experienced, what needs we met or didn't get met in our system. And what we know is, and you said this in the beginning, there are no perfect family systems. And everybody reacts and everybody imprints a little differently in terms of how they cope and what coping mechanisms they get. But everybody's always heard, or maybe even said in their teen years, is I'm not going to turn out like mom or dad. And yet when you hit your 20s and 30s, you start seeing, oh, there's dad and there's mom. Is that always bad? No, absolutely. You want to take a lot of the wonderful things that we all got. However, it usually ends up on one extreme or the other. It's usually you go to the extreme of not being what didn't work, and that can turn into controlling or rigidity, or you go to the extreme of trying to avoid, or you go to the extreme of being exactly what you saw, which is the dysfunction for a lot of people. So I think very much going back and looking at the system, looking at the roles in the system, understanding it, and then having the opportunity to resolve a lot of it, 9 times out of 10, there's a lot of healing in it. It makes a lot of sense for people, regardless of the issue.
Well, I think that we all go through a lot of that. But I think for some people, they may not even really realize it. You know, it's just one of those things that until they really have somebody go in there and help them dig it out, they may not even know why they're doing the things they're doing. So,
and a lot of families have, most families have some periods of time where, you know, their functioning is impaired, and that by stressful circumstances such as death in the family, a parent's serious illness. But, you know, healthy families tend to return to normal functioning after the crisis passes, whereas, you know, dysfunctional families have problems, and they tend to be more chronic, and the kids don't constantly get their needs met.
All right. Well, we are getting an email message coming over right now, an email question. So let me ask you that, and I think it touches on a little bit of what we're talking about right now. It says, so many people talk about living a balanced life. My kids are in their early teens with hormones raging, especially my daughter. Her mood swings are so hard to deal with that when she is upset, the entire family is off balance, tiptoeing around her to avoid conflicts and setting her off. Do you have any suggestions or steps we can take to resolve this problem?
It's a good question. You know, what I would say, and this will be the second or third time we've referenced it, is that you're right. We all talk about living centered or living balanced, and how do you do that consistently? Well, I think that communication is the biggest, and to know there's awareness that, yeah, when you have a teenager that is at that place and dealing with what they deal with, that you're going to have that. And if they've got the ability to express that, and there is some compassion and some support and some guidance and some structure, which it sounds like, then to know that it's not going to be perfect, then to know that you're not going to handle it perfect. That's one thing, is that sometimes I think parents and families get caught with not telling them or not communicating from the parental side on how I might could have done that better. In other words, getting vulnerable with the teenager, just like the teenager is getting vulnerable with you, whether it feels good or not, because most of the time it doesn't. You want to pull your hair out and say, how do I handle this? But I've seen it work really well, and it's part of the exercises we do when we bring families together, is parents get to stop in the moment and say, you know, I probably could have handled that better, or I just don't know what to do. I don't know how to handle that. And as long as kids know that imperfection is accepted unconditionally, then it at least helps. I don't know that there's a fix for that other than to say teenage years are going to be difficult.
Hi, this is Alan.
Hi, Alan. I was calling into your current show.
Yes.
Hi, I'm an alumna of OnSite.
Well, that's great.
I just want to comment.
Okay. Tell us a little bit about your experience in OnSite.
Okay. My name is Elizabeth, and I went to OnSite 2 years ago, and had a really great experience. I was feeling very stuck, unhappy. I had multiple unhealthy relationships, basically, and wasn't really sure where that stemmed from. And one thing that OnSite taught me is kind of a little bit about my family of origin, where I was, you know, how I was raised, where I came from, how all that benefited me, but also, you know, some of the things that I learned and how I was bringing those into my adult life. And so it kind of gave me tools to change any of those unwanted type behaviors and learn to have healthy relationships is kind of what I got from it.
All right. Because and which program did you go for?
I did the Living Centered program.
Oh, okay. And how long was that program?
That program was 6.5 days.
Okay.
And I, again, I was a lot of, I went in because of relationship issues, and I, you know, I came out with a whole knowledge of other stuff, so it was really neat how that happened. I was in a really bad relationship. I kind of went after emotionally unavailable men, and was very unhappy. They could never fulfill. I felt like they never could fulfill this need that I had, and so I just kind of, that was one relationship after another. And so finally I was like, well, I'm going to go look at this. I'm going to go try to figure it out. I'd heard about OnSite through alumni, actually, mostly. I had a couple of friends that went through, and it had changed my life. And so I had heard about it through them. I decided to get signed up. And where I, you know, as I was telling you, I learned, or as I was telling you, I learned kind of about the family of origin stuff and where all of that stemmed from, where those beliefs stem from, about, you know, my view on men and why I had that need for them to fulfill something that I really could fulfill myself. And then also, you know, why I was attracted to that type of male. I was able to kind of, you know, and the cool thing about OnSite was that was my particular issue, but there were other people in there with all kinds of issues, and we all were able to kind of do our own personal work together, even though we weren't necessarily dealing with the same problem. But where I'm at today is I've been in a relationship, a pretty healthy relationship for, you know, 2 years, looking at marriage. He's able to kind of fulfill this, he's kind of my ideal, which is really cool. I never thought I would have that, but I don't feel like I need to take like I need to take from him. I'm my own person now, but I'm in a kind of a relationship where we can share that. It's hard to explain, but it's just been a really great turnaround, and I don't know. I'm just really, really grateful.
Well, no, I mean, and actually, I think you are explaining it well. I mean, for anybody that's gone through relationships. Yeah, I think you are explaining it quite well in the sense that, and again, I mean, correct me if I'm wrong, but I mean, you know, you went in and looked at some things inside you that maybe made you, understand yourself enough to be able to let in the right person, you know, into your life,
yeah.
You know, and so you were able to kind of focus on you. And I think a lot of us in relationships that are going bad, if something's going bad, we don't necessarily look inward. We go, well, that was the wrong person because they were fill in the blank.
Mm-hmm.
So, I mean, would you agree with that point?
Yeah, I think you explained it really, really well. That's what it felt like. And, you know, again, there was another woman in my, I know a lot of your show, I've listened to it before, is about teens, and there was another woman in my group. Her son was recently in treatment. I forget. He was close to my age. I'm pretty young. I'm not too young, actually. I'm kind of he was close to my age in treatment, and she was really struggling from it. And so I have a history of, I'm in recovery, I've been for a really long time, but I have a history of substance abuse. So we were kind of able to connect on that level for her to see, you know, recovering child, you know, in all that she's had to go through. And then I was able to see a parent that had to deal with the child that had that. So there was also that dynamic that was very, very beneficial to just my recovery.
That sounds
as well.
That sounds great. Miles, do you have anything to share?
Well, what I would say is that we've had close to 40,000 people come through and got one of the most amazing alumni networks in the country. It's like they're like family. So it's an honor, always an honor to hear from them. So I'm glad she called. I hate I missed some of it.
Well, and caller, are you still with us?
Yes, I am.
Okay, good. Well, well, now, you know, now I've decided it's your show, so I want you to stay with us until we close, which will be in just a couple of minutes. So I do have a couple more questions for Miles. And I guess, again, because we're just about running out of time, I mean, what is the ultimate goal, you know, in doing this kind of work for you? What do you see as the ultimate goal for you and for OnSite?
Well, I'd like to overall improve the communication and the health of families. I mean, that's what we're in it for, which that, you know, whether it's one individual at a time or one family at a time, that's what we love. We absolutely love to do it. You won't find a group of more passionate, more skilled and caring professionals. I got some of the best staff in the country, and it's just an honor to be involved in people's healing process. Overall, what we hope to do with people is get them unstuck. Most people have an area of their life where they've been stuck for years, and a lot of times that's around most suppressed feelings. or emotions. And we help people get unstuck. That's kind of what we do.
Well, Miles, again, we are just about out of time, so I want to take this last little bit. First of all, I'd love to have you back, because I know that there's a lot more that we could go over. And again, for Miles, for our listener Star, who called in, and I really appreciate you sharing your story with us. You are our star of the show. I want to thank you so much for coming on the show. And for the listeners out there, if you have any additional questions, again, you can go to www.onsiteworkshops.com to get information to Miles or to the on-site program. If you're driving and you couldn't write that down, you can still always go to the www.answers4thefamilyblog.com. And send those questions to us, and we will forward them to him. Again, thank you, and for everybody out there, look to find something good in everything that you do. And we are out of here.
Irreverent, entertaining, cool. You are listening to LA Talk Radio. We say what we want.
Family with Alan Cardoza. Only on LA Talk.